For the next few weeks, we're going to walk through Philippians 4, 4 to 8. Today is your introduction to that, where we're going to speak about staying calm. But you would have seen last week, and you'll understand it today, that I wrote calm with C.A.L.M. You'll see how that works. Today, we're going to look at this little verse and connect it with all the others that says, do not be anxious about anything. Now it's strange. Yes, Jane. She just sits there and she laughs. That's why I'm doing the series. Do not be anxious about anything. Because it's strange, right? How this thing happens, this being anxious, this worry. It's not that there's a storm, but maybe there's just this hunch that a storm is coming, right? And it's always coming. So you don't sleep well. You don't laugh often. You don't enjoy the sunshine. You don't whistle when you walk. Because there's this meteor shower of what ifs that's going on in your mind, right? What if I don't get the job? What if I don't get the promotion? What if I can't pay for the kids for braces? What if they all have buck teeth? What if then they don't get married? What if then I have to take care of them for the rest of my... What if, right? They just go in your brain, but here's the problem. Sometimes we confuse fear and anxiety with each other. They're cousins, but they're not twins. Fear will see the threat. Anxiety imagines a threat. Fear will shout, get out. Anxiety says, oh my goodness, what if I go this way? No, what if that? Maybe... Fear's reaction is fight or flight. Anxiety's reaction is doom and gloom. Fear sees a rattlesnake on the front lawn and your heart starts pumping. Anxiety sees a rattlesnake on the front lawn and you make a decision. I'm never going to walk barefoot on the front lawn ever again because there might be another rattlesnake in 10 years. No wonder Paul says, the easier said than done, as Jane said, do not be anxious about anything. But here's the interesting thing. When he uses this word anxious in Greek, and you can switch that to the next slide, Ted, it's an interesting word in the Greek language. In Greek, it says, yeah, there you go. It's the word merimnao. Merimnao means to have a divided mind. And now think of anxiety, right? A divided mind. Dude, oh, no, I don't think, what about that? What? Divided mind. Or it means to be pulled in different directions. And you know what happens when that happens? You run out of breath because you're running so hard because you're pulled in all of the directions. The problem is it's not just running out of breath. You don't sleep well. You lose your energy. You lose your well-being. No wonder the psalmist in Psalm 37 already wrote, and he says, do not always fret about anything because all it brings is harm. And yet we're as tight as a pretzel. Why? Why are we so anxious? Why do we worry so much? Hopefully in the next 5-6 weeks we will understand that. But what causes that? Maybe one or two things. I think one of the biggest causes right now in this world, and this is interesting, is that the world has changed so much. Do you know that, according to the research that they've done, the world in the last 30 years has changed more and faster than it's done in 300 years prior? And just think about that. When I wrote this down, I thought about my own life. I'm 65. So when I first saw a telephone, it was one of these, had this little thing that you would turn, and then the operator picked it up and said, I'd like to talk to Johnny. And then they'd ring Johnny's little ringtone, and then everyone would pick up the phone and listen in. And then all of a sudden, we got this rotary dial phone. And it was like, holy moly, I can dial the number myself. And then got this push button thing. And the next thing you knew, you had a cell phone. They were as big as a brick. And everyone walked into the dining room, and they would put their phone down so you could see they had a cell phone, right? And life went crazy. We wrote letters, and then it became a telegram. And then there was this email thing that happened. And now we carry little computers in our hands, and we can't get off of them. Just think, that's what I've seen in my young life in this world. And when these things change, what happens to us? Lots of anxiety. I think one of the things that causes anxiety is when we look at the world, there's a decline in our moral values. And when our kids don't know what is what, and what is right and what is wrong, and we don't know what is right and what is wrong anymore, and everything goes and everything is okay, you know what happens. I think one of the other causes is the world in which we live is so small right now. What happens in Vegas doesn't stay in Vegas anymore. What happens in the Ukraine does not stay in the Ukraine. What happens in the Middle East doesn't stay in the Middle East. And let me give you an example of what I saw this week, and it was my mistake. I was watching the news, and I didn't see my little grandson, who's 4 years old, walk in, and he saw this. And the next thing, he jumped on my lap, and with his little big eyes, he says, "Opa, can we move somewhere? Because I'm so scared they're going to come and shoot us too." He's only 4 years old. See, here's the thing. The fact that I'm a Christ follower and I walk with the Lord does not mean that I am exempt of all of these factors and that I am exempt of anxiety and worry, because the struggle for many of us is real. And when I read this again, my reaction was a little bit like James' reaction this morning. It was kind of, "Paul, have you lost touch with reality a little bit when you say, do not be anxious about anything? Couldn't you just write and say, be anxious about a few things? Or couldn't you write, be anxious only on a Thursday?" But he doesn't, does he? Do not be anxious about anything. How do I understand that? How do I live that? Maybe we'll understand it better when we realize in the tense in which it's written in the Greek language. In the Greek language, it's written in the present active tense, which means it's a continuous action that goes on. So what is he saying? He's saying, do not live your life in perpetual anxiety. Do not let your breath be taken away all the time. Breathe. And be careful not to go down that slippery slope of trying to fix the anxiety with a six-pack or a bottle of pills or spewing your anger at the folks around you. Jesus said, and there's a slide for that if you have it. In Luke, he said, be careful of your hearts, because your hearts will be weighed down with the anxieties of life. Be careful with the stuff that you put in there, because when you put the anxiety in there, your heart will be weighed down. Can I ask you, anyone here with a weighed down heart? Let me ask you a few questions. Have you found that perhaps in a while you've not laughed as much as you used to? Do you often see the problems in the promise? Do you have those days where you feel like you don't want to get out of bed? It would be better just to stay in bed, just stay inside and not see people. Have you found yourself diminishing the positive and maximizing the negative? If you've answered yes to any of those questions, I want to introduce you to a really good friend of mine. We've spent many hours together when I was struggling and when I struggle with moments of worry and anxiety. It's not a person, it's a scripture passage. And Ted, can you do that for us? Philippians 4:4-8. And you and I, my friends, are going to spend some time with this good friend of mine. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, But in every situation, by prayer and with petition and with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, my brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Five verses with four wonderful words of encouragement and one promise. We're going to walk through them in the next 6 weeks. But let me show you those four words of encouragement. And there's a slide for that, Ted, if you want to. Next one. First word of encouragement, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Celebrate God's goodness. When this stuff happens, when your mind's going a million miles an hour and you're being pulled, stop! And then just ask yourself for a second. So, okay, this is what I'm worried about. This is what makes me anxious. Can I just for a moment stop and ask myself today, what are the good things that God has done for me today? What has God blessed me with today that for in this moment, I'm so busy with the what-ifs that I didn't see that God, this morning when I woke up, let the sun shine on me. God allowed me to hug my little grandchild. God allowed me to pick up the phone and call my mother. When these meteor storms come over your life, stop and celebrate God's goodness in your life. Second one, verse 6, present your requests to God. When these things come to overwhelm you, can you just stop for a moment and ask? I think that's the problem with this world in which we live. We run so fast, we want to do everything on Google and cell phone. Stop! Try God instead of Google. We miss it. Present your requests to God. God, I really am struggling with this. God, this is overwhelming. Lord, I just can't do this. Can I just give this to you? And then the next one comes with us in verse 6 again. And when you present your request to God, do that with thanksgiving. Leave the concerns with God. I used an example once in this church where I said, take the worries like a ball. Put them on the elevator that's going up and let it go. Don't run after the thing and go get it again. Give it to God and say, Lord, you know me. You know how anxious I am. You know what's going on. Can I give it to you? Because I know when I give it to you, you will give me an answer. Celebrate God's goodness. Ask God for help and then leave it with God. And when you've left it with God, the last one comes in verse 8. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Meditate on God's good things. Celebrate and meditate. Take the good things that God has given you and think about that. Think about how God walks with you. We sang it. That was the most beautiful verse that we have there. If I can't walk, you carry me. If I can't stand, you pick me up. Meditate on the good things. And then there's a promise. And the promise, Ted, verse 8. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which transcends merimnao, which transcends that double mind, which transcends all of this short of breath, and the peace of God, which transcends this crazy mind, will guard your heart. What did Jesus say? Take care of your heart, because the anxieties will overwhelm it, and the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. See, God never promises a life without problems. Never said that ever. But He does promise that you don't have to do it alone. Stay calm. Celebrate. Ask. Leave it with Him. meditate on him. And maybe when we start doing that, we'll be able to see Satan's lies and stand on God's truth. Maybe when we do that, we can talk ourselves off the ledge and stand on God's promises. Because here's what Jesus said, and there's a slide for that. I have told you all of this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but, there's your but, take heart, cheer up, because I have overcome the world. We do not have to run short of breath and out of breath. We can stay calm. Celebrate God. Ask God to help you. Leave it with God. And then rest in the Lord and let him take hold and walk with you. The next 6 weeks, we'll say a little more about this. Amen. Take a few moments of silent prayer. We love you, Lord, with all that is in us. We love you. Because you loved us first. And then you come and you bring your peace. And sometimes we kind of want to lock it away a little bit and run with our own minds that go in every direction. Will you please help us, Lord, to be quiet before you. And just for a moment, realize who you are. For you are God. You spoke and this world came into being. You breathed and we had the breath of life in us. So Lord, what is there that you cannot help us with? What deep, dark valley is there that your rod and staff cannot protect us from? Surely your goodness and your love will follow and has followed us all the days of our lives. So thank you, Lord, that we may rest in you and find our breath in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.